Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. So good to be back here with you, Jordana.
Great to be back. I'm very excited because tonight is our show in Philly.
Right now we are taping ahead of time so we can get ahead. Philly's tonight. Of the four East Coast shows, this one sold the worst. So if you're sitting at home in Philly, get up off your couch, get the group chat together, come out tonight. The New York show's Friday, where
it's going to be amazing.
We're pretty sure this is going to be the crown jewel show of the tour. We're putting together quite an event. So if you're listening right now because a friend of yours is like, you're going, listen to them. You might be new to the podcast now. What do we do on this podcast? Here's what we do. We talk about modern dating and the cross-section of technology and dating, and it's stuff that you really can't go to your parents for advice for because you'll sound like a stupid fucking idiot. So we're here to commiserate. You're not an idiot because we're all idiots. We're all in on this. We're all going through this. We're all going through relationships, and we're all having to deal with our little friend, our best friend and biggest enemy, the phone. So that's what we do. And I know you're thinking right now, is this going to be fun? Friday night is going to be they're all fun, but
this is going to be, it's going to be a good one.
We walked down some special guests. I'll say guests for now.
Yes.
And we're all a buzz here. We're just letting you know
it's going to be a good time. If there's any tickets left, I don't think there are by the time this show comes out. But if there,
you could too try. Bad for you.
You can try.
We've only been fucking yelling about this for the last 2 months.
I know.
And if you're on the other cities, we're not done with this tour. L.A., San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, Phoenix, Houston, Dallas, Austin. If you're in those cities, get those tickets now. Go.
As you know, our tour is sponsored by Moxie Hotels, coming to a city near you. For our New York show, we're going to be having a Moxie happy hour, so you can come meet us for a quick sec before the show. Come get a complimentary drink like the one you get when you check into a Moxie hotel.
Perfect. That's all we have to talk about, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Let's do the show, right?
Yeah, follow at Moxie Hotels on their Instagram. I'm ready for the show.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Also, quick plug, I'm coming to Huntsville, Alabama.
Ooh.
November 28th and 29th. That's the day after Thanksgiving. Come sit in your stretchy pants
with me.
You're
going to have a busy December.
Busy November. And then December. And then we get right into it.
Right.
And then I'm going to be in... I'm also going to be in Springfield, Massachusetts and Naples, Florida at the end of the year. So if you want to come and do some laughing.
The other Naples.
way other Naples. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about how to deal with people who do not want to engage with you on the apps.
How do you deal with them?
Well,
what do you mean?
They're the more frustrating people because they're the people who answer but don't really give you much.
So they're there.
Right. They're not stopping answering you, but they're also not
pushing it forward.
Right.
Yeah, this happens a lot.
Because it's one person doesn't really care.
Nobody makes a move. I say this all the time. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast yet, but we are in constant competition with the couch.
Yes.
So every time you are messaging with someone on an app, they're looking at you, they're looking at your couch. They're looking at you, looking at the couch. They're looking at you, they're thinking about eating a bunch of food and squeezing a pillow against their stomach and watching a Netflix series that they can binge on.
Exactly. And the colder it gets, the more the couch wins.
Ooh, the couch is looking hot. The couch is pretty. The couch is vivacious. And it's one of those things that you know, if you're in these blah conversations, a lot of it is also you have to look inward. Let's not blame the other party. you are talking to them too, because you are lonely. So everything I do, Jordana, this is how I live my life. Okay. Anything I do, I go, yeah, someone else is doing it the same as me. I'm not that special. I'm not that great. I'm just middle of the road dude. And most of us are that. So if you're answering them because you're bored, they're doing the same thing to you because they're bored. And if you're answering them because you're like, I got no one else and they're kind of hot and there's no one else that's really interesting
me. I feel like that's every conversation on a dating app, really, isn't it? Mostly.
I think I've been in conversations where I'm like,
yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
Right.
I think that's the majority of it. That's why, you know, we're left feeling badly from dating apps because you're having more of these conversations.
Right.
You know, whereas if you had to go out and you went to a bar with friends and you talked to three dudes that night, you wouldn't feel and had three mediocre conversations. Right. You wouldn't feel that as much as three mediocre dating app conversations.
Because I feel like at the end of those conversations on dating apps that don't go anywhere, you're kind of like, what is the point?
Well,
why am I here?
Well, this is the other thing that we kind of talk about a lot.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where you're like, do you ever have ever get the same in your case, probably text the same, how was your weekend text? And you're just like, does anything matter?
Yes.
Like,
I do that sometimes.
Why are we here?
I'm that way when I'm at a group fitness class. Like, when I'm hungover, I kind of get like, I'm like, why am I here?
Right.
I'm not going to try. I'm not losing weight. I'm just fighting against the shit I did last night.
Right.
You know, this isn't
even.
And I
had to leave my house, and I have no plans to make this a productive workout.
Not at all. Right. And it's a lot of that is the same on a dating app where you're like, what? You're right.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
And I think that's why the apps can be so like demoralizing. It's
sure.
Just because like I feel like a lot of the time when you have all these conversations that don't really go anywhere, you're just kind of like, what is the point?
Well, there is this thing is if you get past 5 messages with each other, the only thing to do next is a date.
Right.
And sometimes you're like, ugh, these 5 messages weren't interesting enough for me to want to. It's like we get a lot of DMs and messages that are like, well, I get one a lot of times. I'll get this similar one where it's like, I went on date 1, then we went on date 2, and then we got to 3. We didn't hook up, but we kind of made out, and we got naked together, but we didn't fuck. And then we went on date 4, and all of a sudden, he's like, I don't want to be with you. And it's like, what a dick. You're just going to leave me? And it's like, yeah, what was the option?
Right.
What was the option? What is this whole dating thing for then? You're not stuck in
when
something just
it,
because
right.
you went on something.
Well, when you say it the other way, I mean, it makes a lot. It does make sense in the sense of like, yeah, we can't be that offended by these things. And also, this is all part of the game.
This is part of it. So when when you talk with someone, you go, hey, what's up? How was your weekend? You go, it was pretty good. You and then I go, how was I got a little drunk and now I'm a little hungover in bed. I just got a bacon, egg, and cheese, which might be my top food in the entire world. Then you come back with, that's cool. And then you go, so what else is going on? And I'm like, now I got to fucking create a whole story again. And I'm like, at that point,
I'm
like.
You already did your part.
I did my part.
Right.
I gave you a little fun bacon, egg, and cheese thing.
And back to your original thing about the like, about the 4 dates and then the disappointment. It's kind of like, I get the disappointment. You're allowed to be disappointed.
But that's also, they're allowed to also go, hey, we went on 4 dates and I don't see the match.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of dating.
I totally agree with that. But it's like, I think of it, like, I'm feeling for you, like, the best analogy is like, let's say you went on like 4 auditions.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
So you like went on 4 auditions. You keep learning more about the part every time you go, right? You're getting like really into like the idea that you could be.
I
know you're not like an actor per se. You're obviously a comedian.
To any casting people out there, I will do whatever you'd like.
I'm sure you've dabbled in acting
I've done
whatever.
I, you know,
let's say you were
me.
Right. Then you get to the
unique New York.
You're finally called back for the 4th audition, and you're like, "All right, I've been here 4 times.
I'm gonna be the friend. I'm gonna be the friend on the pilot.
Yeah. This is looking pretty good.
I'm already counting the money that I'm gonna make from. Pilot season 1. I've already got the Delta points in my pocket from the flight to LA.
You're on your 4th thing. You're pretty emotionally invested in this. You've moved some things around to be there.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of like, hey, you know, like we liked you. You had like, but like you're not for us.
Yeah. It sucks.
It sucks.
But I wouldn't go to my friend and go, Can you believe NBC?
You might. I would go,
that's the process.
You would say that. You would say that's the process, but you'd also be like, ah, I feel like a little like. Like, this is really disappointing. Like, I really felt like I had it.
I think the difference would be if they flew me to LA.
I really felt like we were a match.
Yeah. I mean, I do that with everything that is hypothetically going to happen. Like, I live in a world that of stand-up where there's no promotions.
Right.
You just have these, like, very exciting things that kind of pop up out of the blue. And they pop up due to the work you've done in the past. So... And it's a lot of accumulation. So just like you're saying, like if there was an audition, I mean, one time I'll tell you this, I pitched this show and we were getting pretty far along to like have this show get made. And we like created all the show stuff and whatever. And then we get to, and I was going to be the host of the show that I created. And I was like, wow, this is going to be great. And I'm looking at the contracts are being made. And,
right. You're
and,
almost the show's boyfriend.
I'm the show's boyfriend. I'm about to define the relationship. I'm about to define the relationship.
Okay.
And I remember they looked at me and they're like, yeah, I don't know. What if we had... They're saying this to me because I'm also the creator.
Right.
So like, it's not like I'm not in on these conversations.
Right.
They're
you're
like,
the EP as well.
I'm like, yeah. So they're going... And I remember at one point they're like, what if the fat Jew hosted this? And I'm like, what? what? How does that help this show? They're like, well, yeah, but he's got such a following. And I'm like, why would he even... Yeah, he has a following where he makes tons of money off it. Why would he even want to host the show? Why wouldn't he create his own show?
Right.
And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, man, that's fucking like I was about... Right. Like that's kind of what it's like.
That's
where it's like...
That's like your Hannah B.
That's my Hannah.
That's like, no, that's like your Hannah B. And then Tyler's like, well... What if we got Gigi Hadid in here?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, what do you mean? Why would Gigi Hadid want to date you?
Yeah.
Like, why would she even want to be here?
Yeah,
what are you talking about? We're like equals. This is like, let's just make this a thing.
I know. And yeah.
We've slept together.
We've been sleeping. We've been hanging out for all this time. I do understand that. I did feel disappointed by that.
Yeah, he's like, no, this could work, but what if we could get her?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty good. It would help out my relationship. Yeah. That's kind of how it came down. I don't know if that relates to that, how that feeling, but...
Right. That's kind of probably exactly how that felt for Hannah B, if I can put myself in her shoes.
Well, I wonder if Gigi Hadid would work well in this role.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, this is all to say that, like, you can be disappointed, but you can't be vengeful.
Right.
You know, like, and also with on the dating apps where you have these, like, meh conversations. Yeah. It's okay to just go... No, I'm going to back out of this one. This wasn't good enough to get me on a date. This is why this exists. This app exists not to tell you everything is great. This app exists to figure out if you and this person have any or sort of connection.
Yeah, and if they're not being vocal or expressive on the app, then like you shouldn't want them to go on a date with you because they wouldn't be that excited about it.
Well, that's what happens a lot of times where they're like, I got a fish, I got to eat it. And it's like, no, throw it back.
Right.
Fish ain't big enough to feed the whole family.
You test them.
Let's so do
she
some
writes,
email.
Right. She, well, in the email, which is about this conversation, she writes, hi, Jordana and Jared, your podcast is amazing. I'm new to online dating. The screenshot I sent is how most conversations have been for me. Is this common for everyone or am I just swiping right on total duds? I'm 31 and my age range is 30 to 40, so they should have some social skills by now. Question mark. I ask a question and they don't even have the skills to ask back or keep a conversation going. I usually don't even bother asking another, but I've been trying not to be so judgmental because I'm a hairstylist, so the small talk game is my life, so it comes easy to me. But
that's
really
interesting. Yeah.
How much conversation do you have to pull out of the other person? Thanks so much. So if we want to reenact this conversation.
So let's reenact the conversation. You're her,
okay.
I'm him.
Yeah, okay.
And here's the thing. There's something in her email that kind of hits me. Can I bring that up?
Sure.
I ask a question. They don't even have the skills to ask back or keep a conversation going.
Is it the skills or the energy?
It's both.
Right.
But, okay, let's do the reenactment.
All right. So she says, hey, blank.
Hey, blank.
How's your weekend going? How's your week going?
Going okay. Hard to get motivated this week. Ha ha.
LOL, why is that? The weather?
Yup. Ha ha.
Yeah, LOL. Do you have plans for the holiday weekend?
I don't actually. Winging it.
Right. I've seen this conversation or an iteration of this conversation.
This
before.
We've all been here.
Right.
Yeah, I have a problem with her. You can't drive other people's bus.
So are you saying that, so if you look at this conversation, you're saying this guy is not interested?
I'm saying he's matching her energy level. I'm saying she didn't get herself enough to even suss him out. So okay. I don't know about him. Yeah, he sucks. You want me to say he sucks?
Sure.
Fuck him. Okay. But I don't, a lot of people suck, but they're not your responsibility. You're responsible for yourself. So she's like, is this how all guys are? I don't know, maybe. But you have to control you. You're the only one that can control you. There's nothing, you can't be the puppeteer.
Right. She's so not saying anything that interesting either.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's my point. You get what you give. So, and if you give a lot to a conversation and you don't get it back, then you're going to go, I'm not going to ask the next question.
Right.
Because you're
going to move on.
They'll move on quicker because you're going to go, like, it's like when you're on the dance floor and you're like, ah, and you're going crazy. And someone kind of like walks up to you, not dancing. You're like, get out of here, fucking
right. You're ruining
schlub.
You're ruining my energy.
Yeah. Get no. And then it's like, and then if like a dude you're not even attracted to comes over and starts dancing like the matching your energy, you're like, yeah, we're going to dance this out.
Yeah, like you do sometimes see that at like a wedding.
You know? See it there's all the like time where right. There's that one person that is like, they're bringing the heat,
right?
And then someone else comes up and is like,
and then
I'm
all
gonna,
of a sudden you're doing the limbo,
and then all of a sudden everyone's involved. Yeah. You need to be the dance floor fire starter.
Is it the limbo?
Limbo
when you go underneath.
Yeah, that's the limbo. Okay. Yeah. You ever see someone that's like amazingly good at the limbo?
Yeah, that person brings the heat.
I mean, it is awe-inspiring. Like, people go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, when that's, like, really, that like, goes on their,
I love when people get really into that cheesy shit, because
oh
I feel
God.
Like it's, like, the sign of, like, we're all, like, going for it.
We're all having fun.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you know, if you go on with, hey, Matt, like, that's how she started the conversation. Hey, Matt.
Right. Not, like, hey, Matt, like, that picture of you is hysterical. Like, I've got
we have
whatever.
You have to understand, you have to understand who you're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Look at the generation that you're dealing with. She says she's 31, range is 30 to 40. Okay. You're in the, you know, elder, you're in the older millennial bottom of the generation, whatever the fuck
not
they are.
Not quite geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah, you're mid, you're pre-geriatric pregnancy age.
Yes.
What I'm saying to you is understand your customer. What are we like? We're all narcissists, our generation.
Right.
Everyone's a narcissist. Everyone has their own Instagram page. Everyone has their own curated pictures. Everyone likes tapas. Everyone likes to say that they know the good restaurant. Everyone thinks they're fucking geniuses. So why don't you play to that? When people always ask me, what's a great opening line? The best opening line is something about the profile that they made.
Right.
Because it's something you noticed about something that they did. So, hey, Matt, fuck
right.
off. You
and
didn't even tell me I'm
right.
a fucking awesome dude.
Because here's the thing. Everyone's had a million of these conversations. No one wants to have the same shitty small talk.
Exactly.
They want to have something and understand
different,
that
curated
small talk that's a little bit less shitty than the usual one.
Absolutely.
This is like standard shitty small talk.
And I'm not saying he's right. Again. Fuck him.
Yeah, he didn't do anything either to bring in this
but that, but you know what happens to people who go, well, he didn't do anything? You're both sitting at home fucking touching yourself while watching Netflix.
Someone's got to do something.
So I'm saying, so if I saw, like, I would go, like, even the smallest thing, like, and also there's no wrong thing to say. Whatever I always think the first thing to come into your head is the most you. So be the most you. So it's like, if I saw your profile and I was like, wow, you really get tan. Like if that was something like that I said to you without knowing you,
right.
You would go, I do like getting tan. Like,
right.
And listen, I took a shot. Maybe you would go, ugh, fucking assholes always mentioning my tan. Like, maybe that would happen.
But at least it would make me feel some type of way.
Exactly. There it is.
There we go.
There it is. This is why you listen to this show, because that's a good answer. That's the reality of it. Make me feel some type of way, whether
right.
it's good or bad. Not everyone's gonna be a fan.
Yeah.
Not everyone's gonna, but make them feel.
I agree.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you, no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's do it. You want to read it?
Hey, J&J, love the podcast. So I've been hooking up with this guy, and everything is going great. The sex is great and he's great, but I really need your opinion on this. Each time we have sex, he pours me a cup of mouthwash after.
Oh my God.
And for you? Like I did, like
it's like they both sex cigarette.
Yeah.
Don't forget to rinse.
I thought there was more to the sentence, so I read it weird, but each time we have sex, he pours me a cup of mouthwash after. At first, I was so taken back, but decided to take the offer because I was so surprised. Well, if you're offering, like,
why not?
Why not? I guess I'll be. Hey, at the very least, you know, he's making constant trips to CVS or Amazon deliveries are coming.
He's got good dental hygiene.
Yeah, I can tell he doesn't want to kiss me until I have the mouthwash.
Oh my God!
I'm just imagining her kissing him and him going, "No, no, no."
Here
you swish, swish.
Where does she have, this also adds an extra awkward layer of like spitting it out.
Yeah,
you gotta go watch. To the
now get out of here.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, toots. Spit that shit out. I'm not sure if this is a kind gesture or should I be offended. I don't think, would you be offended?
I don't know if I'd be offended unless like, I kind of be like, oh, this guy's like kind of like a germaphobe or like
sure.
A little like it would be like a little bit of a turn off. I wouldn't know if I'd be offended by it.
Here's why I wouldn't be offended. If it seems to me that he's going, I like it. So why not? Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Like if he wasn't doing it, he's like, if he was just sitting in bed and he's like, get your mouth washed, bitch. Just clean that dirty mouth. I'd be like, okay. Fucking. Why don't you right. do it, too?
Does he do it, too?
The sex is going great, but I need it. Each time we have sex, he pours me a cup of mouthwash. Okay, so that's the differentiate.
Right.
If they're both doing it, I'm cool with it.
Yeah,
if it's just
right.
you.
Yeah, that's like the hand sanitizer thing.
And click, click, click,
right.
click.
Yeah.
You know,
they were doing both of us.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, just you.
Yeah.
You're the.
It does have that. And I don't mean like it's it does if it's just you, it does feel like he's like, you dirty whore.
Right.
Like, you know, like that type
yeah.
of thing.
And here's your deodorant.
What would you call it? What would you call this?
The Listerine.
Listerine.
It's not very nice.
I like that. Dental Dan.
Dental Dan. I like it.
Have you ever had anything similar?
Just a note on that. Has anyone in the history of sex ever used a Dental Dam?
It is. I've never used one. I never.
I feel like they spent a large part of sex ed like teaching every time us how to use one.
Yeah, more than we should have.
Right.
I should have known if Fingering Girl could get her pregnant more than how to use a fucking dental dam.
Yeah, it's like an art project.
Yeah, why are we? What am I sitting here with the fucking workout band?
Right.
Just the fact that it was even referenced is like a waste of time.
Yeah, it's crazy actually to me. Like, what are you going to do? Take it. You know how we make one?
You cut a workout band?
No, you cut like a condom. You have to like literally take scissors and cut it and then open it wide and then like...
Oh, is that like the homemade version?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they sold Dental Dam.
Oh, we didn't even learn that they sold them. We heard that you had to make them yourself and they taught us how to make them.
Of all the things women are fighting against, that should have been number one. Yeah. That should be like... there's always the thing where they're like, they should make... Like you can get Viagra anywhere you want, right. Yet you can't get like birth control stuff. You know, like
guys should try that on a girl. I would love to see the reaction. If they're like, hold up, before I go down on you, do you have scissors?
I'm just imagining though, if women were telling us like, and for years they made us cut our own dental dam so that we could get pleasured. You'd be like, yeah, man, we've been really dicks to you, huh? Like,
seriously.
I'm going to bring out a dental dam next time I hook up with my girlfriend.
You should.
I'll just be like, let's see what happens.
Can you please let us know the reaction?
What do you think? I guess.
It's a barrier.
No, I know what it is. I also, the smell of it. I remember, didn't it always have like the dust that comes on latex?
It's like same smell as a condom. Again, like that's the only way I knew about it. It's like, it's basically a condom in a different shape.
The only way I could see a dental dam. I see what you're saying. The only way I could see a dental dam being used would be as like payback from a guy being like, oh, you want to use condoms? Well, this is what it feels like. And then like,
I'd be like, great. Yeah. You can use a condom for a blowjob too. That'll be fun.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. I don't know. It's, I've never used one.
STI protection.
No, I guess the feedback might be that if you have herpes, right. A dental dam is a way to have someone go down on you while you have herpes or breakout.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm speaking out of my ass right now. I know someone's going to DM me and go, well, and I'm like, no, I don't. Listen, there's a reason for everything that exists.
Someone out there is using it.
Good for them. I'm happy they're safe.
I guess.
Not for me.
I still don't even know if someone's out there is using it. I guess we'll find out.
We're going to find out. I can promise you. Have you ever had something? Look, I did get a DM recently this week where it was, is it weird that my boyfriend doesn't want to kiss me
after a blowjob?
After a blowjob.
I've heard that too.
What do you think?
I think it's a little offensive.
Do you kiss after a blowjob? Let's get personal.
I'll kiss on the cheek if cheek I'm doing kiss. That. Yeah.
I've done a makeout after a blowjob.
I'm not like opposed to it.
Yeah.
I think it's more weird for them because it's like, oh, am I like eating my own like?
What about a makeout after he goes down on you?
I'm like fine with that.
I'm making out after going down.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I'm cool with it, but that's also
we've exchanged so many fluids at this point. Like, what's the...
When I have a beard, it looks like a dog coming up from having water, from lapping up water. It's just like,
there you go.
Is that a fun visual?
Audience.
Anyone enjoying that?
Audience.
I know one person that doesn't enjoy that.
She who must not be named.
The lady of the night.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think like when guys rebuke at it, like when they like back off at a kiss after a blowjob, I think there's like this whole connotation with like your own cum and sexuality that's not fair.
Right. I think it's like kind of bullshit, but like I also like don't care that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That much.
Feels like young people's things.
If that's something that you feel like super strongly about, I think it's fine. I think it's like more. I think it's a little offensive in the sense of like, I just did something nice for you.
Sure.
Like, and now you're kind of just like,
what? You don't kiss your grandmother?
Right.
It does feel very, the way you're putting it, is, feels very like hot, be respectful. You
be
know,
respectful.
Like
I
understand that. sometimes I'll kiss on the forehead and go, and that was good.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Everyone, don't get disgusted. Don't get mad at me. Stop DMing me. I'm kidding.
I don't think for this mouthwash thing. I think if he's pouring both of you some mouthwash, red flag. If it's just you, deal breaker.
Yeah, because it's then that's a signifier of respect level for the person in the bed with you.
Right.
To me,
like I need mouthwash, but you don't.
Yeah. It feels very dominant if they didn't want the mouthwash, but
I agree.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
UUP@betches.com. UUP@betches.com. Also, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to make it your Instagram right now. I want you. I feel like
I
feel like a wrestling heel, like a wrestling bad guy doing a promo. I want you to make it your Instagram story right now, and I'll see you at the Spectrum this fall for WrestleMania 3. You know?
Yeah.
Is that?
I'm not gonna watch much wrestling.
There's three dudes laughing at that, and everyone else who listens has no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. But
I do know Uncle Sam, Uncle Jared,
Uncle Jared.
Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. I have a communication problem I'm hoping you can help me navigate. When a significant other is away on vacation, who is responsible for keeping up the communication? I have been dating my boyfriend for about 8 months now, and everything has been great in that honeymoon stage. We live in the same city and aren't much of a phone call couple, but keep up good text conversations when we don't see each other. This weekend, he went out to California for a trip with some college friends, not a bachelor party or guys weekend, and we haven't spoken as much as I would like to.
If you're going away with friends, it's the same as a bachelor party. She's trying to get us on her side.
It's not a guys weekend either, she's saying.
He's on a trip with college friends.
Okay. We haven't spoken as much as I would like to, and I've initiated each conversation. I don't want to feel like I'm bothering him, but I do think we should be speaking more than we are. When I have been away, I've made efforts to make sure that we still spoke a good amount and have also called a couple times to catch up. He's only away for the weekend, so am I overthinking this? Who should be the one keeping up the communication? How do I bring this up without coming off as a nag or making him feel like he's obligated to me? I want him to want to do the dishes. Thanks for the help. Sincerely confused by the communication.
What do you think? I have some thoughts. I travel a lot every weekend. Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend.
I feel like you're a pretty good texter.
I get back to everything right away. I'm very good at texting.
Yeah.
I'm a desperate fucking loser who can't go a second without constant affirmation and communication. It's hard, and it's, you know, I can't really give her an answer that doesn't include be more confident. Like, you know, text when you have something to say, and if you have nothing to say, then
let him enjoy his weekend.
Let him enjoy, you know, like, and also when things get busy, you don't text as much. That's why when things get busy, you're not posting on social media as much.
Right.
To me, she's got to say, hey, I'm a great and wonderful person, and he should be lucky to be with me. And if he comes back from the trip and he says, and he didn't text me at all, you can say, hey, what the fuck? You didn't text me once?
Yeah. And if he's not answering you, that's an issue.
Yeah. And then maybe you want to end the relationship because he didn't even think of you once while he was on a trip with his college friends.
Right.
That's a standard thing.
I do think it's like, it's not weird for people to have different expectations of how much texting or communication is like necessary or even favorable in a relationship. I think that's something you kind of work out relatively early, in the sense of like kind of trying to figure out the way both people like to communicate. I remember when I first started dating, Mike would be like, he'd kind of be like, oh, like, do you like to like text during the day? I feel like we don't talk that much during the day. Is that something you're like interested in? I'm like, I feel like I'd rather just like speak to you on the phone like later and have like an actual conversation than like text you random things throughout the day. I'd rather like save it and give you like an actual like full attention at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of, but that's in the beginning, that's not like, is it like, oh, do they just not care about speaking to me? I feel like sometimes you can,
I mean,
ask like what someone's preference is, or like if we're both away, it'll be like, oh, like, yeah, I guess we were both like busy this weekend, so we didn't really like speak that much.
Mm.
And so it's kind of like, I think you can acknowledge it.
Yeah. And also like, hey, I haven't heard from you. Call me tonight. Like, that's an okay thing to do. Like, I think like also like, you know, the example that speaks to me is FaceTime. Like, I love FaceTime. I think FaceTime is the worst thing in the entire world.
Really?
I would rather cut my hand off than fucking have to FaceTime.
So you've never FaceTime?
We have. We do it. And I go, like, I think that should be on the, I put up a tweet once where it's like, there should be a dating app where the only question is, do you need FaceTime? As like one of the things. And it's like, you know, I just think FaceTime, to me, it keeps you on the phone longer than the conversation needs to go.
It can. I don't know. For me, I feel like it's like I don't like to text during the day really at all. Unless there's something that, like, obviously if it's about a plan,
sure,
that's different. Or if it's something like so incredibly important or funny that like they need to know immediately.
Gots to know.
But for me, it's like if there's like a small thing that I like feel like he'd be interested to know, I'd rather tell him in person in a full like way. Or when we didn't live together, we used to FaceTime a lot because I felt like it was like just a better, more intimate way of communicating, and then we could just text less.
But I'm kind of on the side of like, I don't think texting is a signifier of someone liking you more. I think it's just
FaceTime is. But here's the thing. I think FaceTime is a signifier of that because you can't be doing 10 different things at the same time. You can only FaceTime one person at a time.
Yeah, I love talking to someone while they look at themselves for 20 minutes. I like having headphones on, doing other things while we're talking on the phone. Like, that's like my, like if I was like away and she was like, call me tonight, let's talk, you know, before you go to your shows or whatever, I'd be like, yeah. And I put on headphones and I'd sit there and talk with her while I was doing other stuff. Because
I
like
think a phone call is like sufficient.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, but for this woman who wrote in where it's like, hey, what's enough? I don't want to be a nag. I don't think it's a nag.
It's like your personal preference.
Yeah. And it's also like, I love taking these out to the court of public opinion. If a guy came to me and was like, can you believe my fucking girlfriend of 8 months wanted to talk on the phone on Saturday night? I go, well, like for 5 minutes? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's the problem? It's not a nag to go, hey, call me tonight. Let me know how things are going. Like, hey, how's the trip? And then them to respond. And then you go, okay, cool. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's totally fine. I understand why if someone is away with their friends, they don't want to be like texting you constantly or on the phone with you constantly. I think it's a matter of taking 5 minutes in your day to say, hey, like checking in with someone that I really care about.
Sure.
And then like that doesn't disrupt your day.
And every and then guy you continue has on. Been on the trip with the dude who has the girlfriend who's like mad he's having fun. That's the one
that's the
annoying one. Every guy has had the one friend that walks away with his phone and everyone goes, is she calling again?
Right.
What?
You don't want to be that person.
And then he comes back and everyone's like, and this is when you end up getting dumped. This is when he comes back and everyone goes, and I'm always this guy. I go, so how was the call?
Oh, you're that. He's probably trying to pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, because now it's the fifth time. And we're like, what the fuck? So it's like, I think for a trip, the one time a night while you're in the room getting ready, 5 minute call to check in, that's great.
Also,
the text throughout the day, if you have something going on, you're just texting. If the string of texts are like five by you, that's fine too. But if you're actively taking away from the friends where they even go, what's going on here?
Yeah. If your friends know about your communication, it's too much communicating.
It's too much. And then she's probably like, well, how do I know if they know? You know.
You'll know. Right. Because it's also like you just have to also realize it doesn't make you like some desperate loser. Whoever is having the more boring weekend is the one who wants to talk more.
You're the desperate loser.
The desperate loser is the one who's having the more boring weekend.
Yeah.
But they should understand that internally and respect the non-desperate losers having a good time. Eventually, one day, it'll be you.
Yeah, eventually.
Who's having fun.
Desperate loser is not a permanent designation.
Right. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Boll & Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Boll & Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Boll & Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's do some more emails. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com.
Okay, you want to read the next
one? Let's read the next one. Let me do a...
This is long.
Okay. Are we ready for this?
Yes.
First of all, I want to say I love this podcast. Both bring up great topics of dating woes that nobody wants to discuss. Bring a fresh perspective. I think everyone needs to strive to have. Hey, that's why you should tell a friend. Mm-hmm. Despite getting some heat for being a guy who listens to a dating podcast. Ooh, it's a dude email.
A long dude email.
I can't believe it. I don't care because I think everyone under the sun needs some brutal honesty about dating every once in a while. Who's giving you a shit?
Yeah, guys can listen to... I know many guys who listen to dating podcasts.
This one. That's right. I'll try and keep this short. You've already failed.
we see the paragraphs.
But it's the first paragraph we didn't need. But thank you. But I have a prolonged ex-girlfriend situation that I think you can provide insight on. I broke up with my then-girlfriend 3 years ago. All right. So they've been broken up 3 years. We met through mutual friends way back when and were essentially part of the same friend group before dating. Since the breakup, we've continued to have friends that overlap, which I never wanted to alter because a breakup should never also bring breaks in our friendship with the same people.
It sounds like something he's repeated to a few different people.
I know. And I don't like when anyone says never. Right. I don't like with anything. You should never do, especially dating advice. Never do this. No, we never do that.
Right.
You know, that's why like Cosmo, yeah, all those magazines, they set you up for failure.
Always do this. Yeah, never do that.
Fuck off, good looking dude in Cosmo. There's someone very specific I'm thinking of. Which I never wanted to alter because a breakup should never also bring breaks in our friend. You know what? A breakup does bring breaks in friendships.
Yes.
It happens. I used to hang out with this group before we go into this email. It was like our New York group. When I first moved to the city, we'd all watch Patriots game together. We're all still close enough. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The group doesn't do anymore. Hang out that much.
Yeah.
And it's because you get older and listen, you know, people, some friends you get closer with, some you go away from. But, you know, you can have that and also be cool with them.
Yeah, I agree. You can definitely break up friendships because of a breakup. It's not that weird. People pick the person they like the most.
I remember when the group ended was when these two in the group hooked up and then they ended and it was like, and then what happens is people take a break, you know, the group friends hang out with the ones they like the most.
Right.
And then they're like, well, we're taking some time for those two to take away from each other. Mm-hmm. And then they realize, oh, I'm going to take some time from the rest of these people.
Let me tell you something. My parents were married for 13 years.
Yeah.
Had a lot of family friends. None of those friends are still friends None with both of them. Zero friends Zero. Speak to both of them. Completely divided.
Yeah.
And like, it's everyone, no one's that has endured just, that big of a loss.
It's also human, and friend groups get right. smaller as you get older.
Yeah. So I know zero people that both of my parents are friends with independently.
That's hilarious. Which I never wanted to alter because of breakup. Okay, I've read that sentence seven times. We both moved to Chicago post-breakup. Among many of our mutual friends. While I believe in the whole you can't be friends with your ex mindset. Well, I think you can, but okay.
Maybe.
It can happen.
I think again, be friendly.
We never say never. Yes. I never want to get to a place where our mutual friends had to pick sides and divide the group that we had because we all are very close. I always tried to find a fine line where we would only hang out in group settings and not have a super close friendship outside of that. However, the whole mutual friend situation has gotten, in my perspective, a little out of control. LOL. She has claimed that she only wants to be friends with me, but has since told some of our mutual friends quite the opposite. It has gotten to the point now, mind you, 3 years later, that she has invited herself on trips. She wasn't invited on planned trips to the same city, coincidentally, if I was going somewhere. Tried to befriend any of my friends I met outside of our group, and has done everything in her power to try and get a one-on-one time with me. For example, she has asked to go to lunch, dinner multiple times to catch up, or would end up coming early to a pregame my roommates and I would host just to talk with me one-on-one. She has confronted me at bars while I'm talking to other girls about how she's uncomfortable that I talk to girls in front of her, despite her doing the same thing and also hooking up with a few of my friends, mutual friends that she met while dating me. I am fully moved on from the breakup and genuinely do not have any attraction to her anymore. Boy, I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. Right. Or maybe she needs to listen to this podcast. I've said word for word, we will never be a thing again, multiple times.
How do you say that to someone? That's tough.
He really cares about keeping this friend group together. Some of our friends have caught on to her antics and are also getting increasingly annoyed, but don't want to butt in because it's not their drama, which I can't blame them for. Needless to say, it's time for an intervention. I don't know how to bring up how, one, we will never date again. There is nothing between us. And two, we need to live our own lives despite having mutual friends without being a total dick about it. How can I get the point across, even though I have given multiple indicators that it will never happen again and without bringing our friends into it because it's not their battle to fight? Thanks for the awesome pod and your advice here. Sincerely, guy who gets cock blocked by his ex. What do you think?
I think.
Have you known a girl like this? Because I'm trying to think of like.
I've known a girl like this. I've kind of like, not to this extent, but I feel like I've been a girl like this. Mm-hmm. Not like, not at all in this blatant way, at least the way he describes her. But I think I've had like things, especially like in college or like, or things after where we were like, because in college, everyone knows everyone. And if I, maybe if something ended with a guy, but I kind of felt like there was maybe some unfinished business, I might like attend parties that I knew he'd be at. Or something like that. Thinking like, oh, like maybe like if he sees me enough, it'll
click.
Right. Something will click and something will come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that, I mean, that only really leads you to be like completely miserable. So I feel bad for her. I feel bad for her. It seems like she's like clearly having a very difficult time getting over this. It does seem like he's clearly very blatantly said this is never going to be a thing again. And I think for him, the best thing he could do is completely distance himself from her and give her, if the subtle hints are not working, or even the saying, this is never going to be a thing again, next time she texts you, just don't answer.
I used to have this girl where she would confuse us having fun together for like, then why don't we make this happen? Do you know what I mean?
Did you hook up?
Mm-hmm. Oh. No, but we hooked up for a while. Yeah,
you're
I left
like
out a very key
like
detail.
Dead right now.
Yeah. Well, I thought you're
that
right.
That was so funny. You were like, I have no idea why she thought this was going to be a thing. We just had sex every time we hung out.
Well, I would explain. I would get in this position. Well, we didn't have sex every time we hung out, but we would hang out late night.
Okay.
Get, you know, drinks, get drunk. and hook up. And then I would be like, hey. And then she would be like, well, let's do whatever. And I would say to her very upfront, I'd go, this isn't going to be something. This is very casual for me. And she'd be like, I know. And then she would end up, you know, I get a text, what are you doing tonight? And I'll be like, no, I'm not going to hang out tonight. And then, well, are you out? Are you going to go out? What's happening? And it was like, there's a point where you have to, again, what you're laughing at is you have to realize you're a part of the problem.
100%.
And you're never going to get through other people's bullshit. And other people have shit going on for them. And everyone has a different relation to how relationships could work out. So, like, I think her being around you in a fun setting with friends is misleading a little bit to her.
Right. She's hanging on to the past, clearly. And
she's going, we're all together. We do, you know, we got the group.
This makes sense.
This makes sense.
Right.
And it's like, I know you said to her, we will never be a thing again. But then you guys end up laughing with each other and she's like, fights happen.
Right.
like because the group right. softens
or you,
that.
Or, right. Or you talk to her for 20 minutes at a pregame and she's like, well, he's giving me this attention. And like.
Yeah. So there's nothing you can say to her that will get to her as much as the feeling of being okay in a group setting. Because to her, and I'm not saying she's even wrong about this, to her, if we can hang out like this and you were attracted enough for me to hook up.
And we used to date.
And we used to date. Like,
maybe why not?
Why not? Right. And also, she's putting her insecurities on you. She sees you talking to a girl. Now she's measuring herself up against the girl. She's going, we have everything. We're cool in a group setting. And now this girl's hotter than me.
Right.
And it's like, that's not what it is at all. And I do understand. I empathize with her. And we both feel bad for her a little bit because we know this is her way of dealing with her own shit via you. Not you. You're not that great.
Right. It's like almost like an addiction to the highs and lows of being around what sounds like sort of a toxic thing going on here.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand that because I feel like even like I've kind of like, again, like not been opposed to being like in the proximity of someone who I felt like kind of hurt me in a sense of like maybe we would talk and I would feel really good. And then like I'd see him talking to someone else and then I'd feel really bad. You're almost like addicted to like a little bit of like the pain of like the up and down. And like
there's a battle going
right.
on.
Right. It's almost like a drug thing. It's like you get a little high and then like it becomes like a withdrawal and then it hurts a little bit, but it's kind of like exciting. So, I mean, I've been in her.
Yeah.
Not to this extent where someone has said to my face, like, this is not going to be a thing. I feel like that's pretty clear.
But that's the thing.
But,
you've done the talk to her thing.
Right.
It's time, and I agree with Jordana, walk away from this group.
Save her by ignoring her.
You ignore her. Is she going to be there? I'm going to take a minute off. I'm not going to go. And then you go, well, shouldn't break up the friendship. Hey, you want to come with me, and we're going to go to a bar, and we'll hang out in a different bar?
Right.
Yes.
Do your own thing.
Not all these people are your best friends.
Yeah, and then you take away any thought that she has where, like, any rationale in her head where she's like, well, he keeps coming to the things he knows I'm going to be at.
Yeah.
He keeps talking to me at the pregames. You know what I mean? He keeps answering my texts.
Yeah, it's not.
Right. I mean, it's like this is an extreme version of a feeling that I sort of understand, which is like, in her rational, like, I just don't understand why it can't work. And so, and she's living in the past. If I bet you if you did that, eventually she would try to meet new people and actually like find someone who actually likes her. You'd be doing her a favor.
Absolutely. Also, you need to unsubscribe on social media if you haven't already. If you're following her, you're a part of
this. Send a message.
You have to, I would even block her. I'd be like, hey, we're done. This is over. You're getting in the way of my life. And if she checks you and says like, hey, why'd you block me? Ignore that too. I would walk away.
Yeah.
You got to walk away. And then the idea that like she's dating guys that, you know, were mutual friends of mine when she met, you know, it's like, who cares? Goodbye.
Right. Unsubscribe.
That's it.
I agree. It seems mean, but I actually think it's like a huge favor to the person.
Yeah. And a favor to yourself because right now you're spending so much more time on this than you would even admit.
I mean, you're writing into this podcast.
Yeah. So that was a novel. And then also you're going to your friends and you're trying to turn friends against her. I know you're not trying, like she's like the whole vacation showing up to trips coincidentally. Like that's like a wild thing that I believe you, but I also think, are you inventing this a little bit?
Like, I think there is a part of me that thinks he's either like exaggerating a bit or is like a little bit into the attention.
Yeah, there's a and
kinda
it's like
likes, oh, like this girl's obsessed with me. And all my friends can see it. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it, and like here's one person who's like completely obsessed with me.
Yeah, and he keeps going.
What do I do about it?
Yeah, what do I do? I got these friends that I call dude at parties, and I don't know their real names, but they're my friends.
Right.
It's like you're not trying to keep friends. Like your friends will come out with you and do other shit.
Right.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's play some games.
Let's do it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Unscrews the lid off the Parmesan at a restaurant and pinches the amount he wants with his fingers instead of using it like a shaker. I love this one. What do you think? I mean, this guy is like, it's amore, pizza pie. Can you imagine? Like,
it's
I don't like it. The shaker gets move. In the way. Let me
put my fingers in
up.
That. I think it'd probably be a red flag.
You can throw away the Parmesan shaker afterwards. You can look at him and go, throw that fucking thing away. You just put your fucking hands in it.
Right. I think this is trainable.
This is one of those things that like it's not like a
what if a girl did this?
I would look at her and go, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, what's the...
You're using your hands? It's a shaker.
It's a shaker that you can shake.
It's like, no, I like it dispersed how I like it dispersed.
Yeah, the shaker gets away from you sometimes.
Right.
I need the extra control.
Yeah.
Well, to me, if that's the answer, I'm like, ugh, she's going to be fucking tough to deal with.
This is trainable. I would bring around a pocket Purell, and every time he was going for it, I'd just be like, give me your hands.
Yeah, because, well, you're not even worried about... I would be worried for the next people.
Well, that's
I'm not
I'm
worried
saying.
About other people doing this. But this is like a...
Now I'm concerned that someone does that with the communal...
with everyone's doing it?
Yeah.
If a woman did this for some reason, I know this isn't fair, I would think that she was more anal than if a man did it. Like, if a man did it, it would feel like a very, like, I'm a dumb, big fucking idiot.
Okay.
If a woman did it, I'd be like... Wait, are you that, like, you need every section of the pizza covered, and that's why...
You wouldn't think it was gross?
I would think it's gross, but I would also be like, this is... The instability isn't that they don't care about germs, it's that they care about control.
Right. What if she put her mouth over the entire water fountain?
I would think she would never had learned how to use a water fountain. Like, that's what I would think. Or she had a very... bad history with people pushing her face into the water fountain. Like, that's like a thing in elementary school people used to do. Like, she has a bad... I got a bad history. You don't know what I've been through.
Would
like
you that, say something? Third date.
If she put her whole mouth in the water fountain?
Yeah, you're strolling through the park.
I go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Are you okay? Like, what happened? I would ask. I don't know if it'd be a deal breaker. I'd be like,
I think
listen, I'll make out with you after you blow me, but this is too far.
This is a lot.
Yeah.
That's good to know your mouth can do that.
Yeah. Good to know. Noted. Let's do another.
You're allergic to and hate cats, but he or she has one and loves it and wants to live with the two of you when you move in together.
See, this is a deal breaker to me.
If they have an animal?
No. I'm allergic to the cat.
Okay.
And I hate them.
What if they're like, you can get shots?
No, I don't care. Game over. This, listen, we can't do this. I'm not going to be sick the rest of my life. I'm going to be injecting myself for this cat.
It's not just a cat.
It's not, it means everything to me.
This is my son.
But Bojangles is someone. Yeah, no.
What if you're not allergic and you just hate cats? Does that make a difference?
I would have to have some sort of rapport with the cat. Like, we'd have to get along in a special way that I'd be okay with it. Like,
if you didn't get along,
like, sometimes you like meet, you know, like a dog, you're like, that dog's cool. And sometimes you meet a dog, you're like, ugh, I wouldn't want to move in with that dog. Like, they're all different personalities.
Right.
Like, and then someone's listening going, you have to love all dogs. And it's like, no. You don't have taste.
Right.
You know, I, certain personalities don't, you can't call your dog your son and say that you love all dogs.
Would you rather someone you're dating have a cat that you hate or a child that you love?
Cat that I hate. And not to say that our listeners with kids are not. There's just, it's not the situation I'm looking for.
But Papa, JT.
sorry, son.
That's what,
I'm going to be hanging with Whiskers from now on.
Even if you guys get along super well.
Kid that I love, cat that I guess the kid that I love. I take that back. I probably would be like, yeah, like I would feel a part of the kid's life and that whole thing.
Or, yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah. What do you think?
About the would you rather or about the cat in general?
Both. Kid that you love.
I think I'd rather be with a kid that I love.
Yeah.
At least it's only 50% of the time it's around, probably.
Sure. Only every other weekend.
Exactly. And would I date someone if I was I really don't like cats.
You don't?
No, I'd find it a little. They're like touch everything and they jump on stuff and they're like kind of creepy.
The one problem with a cat is that in the mornings, I sleep with a girl who had a cat and it would just like paw at you.
Yeah.
In the morning. And you'd be like, this is not the time of day for this. Like, cats, if they need you, they're getting you.
Right. And also, it's just kind of like they want to live with it. And we move in together. That means even when it dies, they'll probably want another one. It's like now I'm a person who now like owns cats. I'm a cat owner.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd be a little resentful.
Yeah.
If everything was perfect, I'd probably get over it. But it'd be very close to a deal breaker.
One time I slept with a girl and I woke up naked in her bed. We were pretty drunk. And I woke up naked next to the cat.
I think
I told this before?
I think so.
And the cat was like near my penis. And it was just so weird that like, I was like, I could never walk into this apartment again. Then I like went to take a piss and my foot was in the litter box. It was all
litter boxes are just disgusting.
Yeah, it's like having a sand trap in your house. It's like,
yeah,
it's kind of weird.
I don't know if I could be a cat person. I would love to like know that the rest of my life is like cat free.
Did we talk about this last episode? I want a cat free lifestyle.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think cat people are more realistic with dating. I think they offer more realism to their relationships in life because you have to like earn a cat's trust.
The dog doesn't love you unconditionally.
Dog would fucking lick the face of a murderer.
Yeah. Right.
Let's do one more.
They chew gum the entire date, even when eating or drinking.
How do you feel about this? Red flag or deal breaker? So,
is the first date they do this?
First date. When I have gum, it stays with me for the day. I don't keep gum in my mouth when I eat a meal.
The girl from Willy Wonka?
That's me. Put it behind my ear. Violet. No, but right now.
Put it behind your ear?
That's what she used to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So, I have a space in my mouth between my. Like, if I'm drinking, I'll keep gum in my mouth.
Really?
So I'll have, like, I put gum, like, up in my gums, up top on my right side of my mouth, or left side of my mouth.
During a meal, too?
Not during a meal, though. I'll throw away the gum for a meal. So I'm one of these people that will have gum in social situations where maybe you wouldn't want gum in your mouth.
Well, okay, but for...
Even on stage. Like, people don't chew gum on stage.
You do.
And I'll just put it up in my gum while I'm...
If it's the you situation where I've never known that about you at all. That's like, you've done a good job of making that not a public embarrassment to me.
Do you think I'm chewing gum now?
No.
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like we just did a magic trick.
We just did it.
Wow.
For the listeners at home, I just pulled
that
it
out. That doesn't bother you?
I like it.
Are you afraid of swallowing it?
No, it keeps me...
I heard like if you swallow gum, it stays in your system for like 7 years.
It's I've heard that too.
I don't know if that's true.
There's only been one instance where I'm not gonna get into this. but
you left a piece of gum in someone's vagina, didn't you?
It's still there. They don't even know. It was my own version of a dental dam.
I'm imagining the mouthwash girl, and then you're like, oh, no, I'm good. And then you pull out the...
I've woken up with gum in my mouth after like a night of hooking up and drinking.
I had no idea.
Because I put it between my lip and my teeth.
I don't understand what's the appeal.
There's no appeal. It's more that like when I chew gum, it keeps me less from eating. So it keeps my mouth busy. So so when I get on down a gum road... For whatever reason, I like wasn't chewing a lot of gum, and now I'm back in. And yeah, I'll put it in the side of my mouth, and it just sits up there. I'm afraid of choking on it, like waking up.
I feel like they make gum small enough so that won't happen.
This one's small enough. I don't like a big piece of gum. Like Trident.
Bubblicious?
No, Bubblicious. You know what my buddy and I used to do? We were in this econ class once in college. And you know how Bubblicious comes like 6 to a pack, I think?
It's enormous, too.
Enormous. Yeah. So we used to like annoying this one girl in our economics class because she was like so into it. Like she was like, she's doing very well now. So like this all tracks.
It just goes to show you. It
goes to show you. Probably. Yeah.
She's probably like Bill Gates.
Yeah. She's doing really well. And, you know, I'm here talking about dental dams. but, you know, to each their own. So one day, my buddy and I were like, let's fuck with her today. And he's like, I got this gum. And I was like,
you
okay.
You didn't put gum in her hair.
No. Come on. Okay. We're more...
I don't know. I feel like you keep saying the maturity level when you... I'm imagining you like 15 years ago.
Here's what we would do. Okay. We were in college. He sat on one side of her. I sat on another. And we're like, hey. And she's like, hey, everybody. Like, we were all friends. And then he pulled out Bubblicious. And he like put one in his mouth. He's like, hey, Jared, do you want a piece of gum? I'm like, yeah, I'd love one. So then we both each have a piece of Bubblicious in our mouth. And he's like, he goes, hey, Jared, do you want another piece? I'm going to have another piece. And I'll go, yeah, I'd love one. So then we both have two pieces of Bubblicious in our mouth. And we sound like horses. We're just like,
oh, my God.
And we knew that this chick was so into the class that she would fucking freak out. And he was like, hey, Jared, you want another piece of gum? So then we had.
Did she say anything?
She flipped out. She stood up. She was like, I can't sit next to you because we're just two horses chewing. And it was like, and then we like high fived and we're like, got her.
Wow. Like, it was like, I hope she's listening to this.
She might be.
She's probably buy your parents' house, kick them out,
make them destitute.
Now that she's this,
this huge deal. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. So the chewing gum thing.
So you're okay with it then?
I'm cool with it. Yeah. I get it.
If it's like you, where I don't know, if it's like you in that class,
yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
If it's like I literally have known you while, did not know that about you.
Yeah, my dream is to do a late night set, like to do like a Tonight Show set, like at the end of the show, and then have gum in my mouth. I think that'd be kind of fun.
I feel like one day it'll weirdly serve you. Like you'll have it when you least expect it.
We need something sticky to hold together this airplane. I've got it. Does anyone have some gum? You know what?
Saves the day.
Once again.
I can't believe you've had it this every recording.
Not everyone, but every now and again.
You learn something new every day.
And you know who learned something new? The listeners of this podcast.
Look at that.
Very excited that you guys enjoy this show. New York, if there's tickets left, I would go look right now, see if there's something left there. We're here every Wednesday. Keep telling a friend. Keep telling a coworker. If you're on the West Coast, go buy those tickets. We're ready. We're coming. It's going to be a great show. We'll be back next episode. Betches.